you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate Rogue One, the Star Wars story, 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Chrysanthi Tan, and I have music that I make, and you can look it up on Spotify and all of those other places, YouTube, yes, and whatever is out.
I like that. I'm Chrysanthi Tan, and I have music. It should be your...
yeah, that's just... yeah.
That's just your,
okay,
that's
maybe
your
I'll
way.
Stick with that from music, now on.
Your website should be music.com.
Oh, now I have to buy that.
I'm liking your beach vibe.
So, yeah. Thanks for coming back or having us back here in your lovely home studio.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about minute 103 of Rogue One. The big battle is getting going. Minute 103 starts off with Sholan the Fishman saying yes, sir, to Admiral Raddus as the X-Wings peel away from the fleet. And it ends a minute later with Cassian getting ready to grab handles for extraction. This is one of my favorite... I think the space battle is the best space battle in all of Star Wars.
Oh, whoa.
That's also how I'm saying it.
Okay. We're hanging our hat on minute 103 of Rogue One in all of Star Wars.
Well,
favorite space battle.
The whole Rogue One space battle is the best space battle.
Oh, okay.
This is a great minute of that space battle.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So that would make it one of the best combat.
It is a pretty exhaustive one, so.
Yeah.
My programming prevents me from saying anything other than the original trench run, so
I respect that.
Yeah.
But
this is very good. I agree.
Yeah. And it's like I don't know. Is it too video gamey? Because I feel like I could watch someone play video games if it looked like that.
I think as someone who's not super into the video game world, to me, that doesn't make me glaze over as like, oh, it looks video gamey. Because some things do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that does not.
Right.
That's just
the only
awesome
one that seemed like it's video gamey is where you're following the X-Wing and you're almost like looking at it from like R2's point of view. Like,
right,
like the X-Wing is moving around and the background is moving, but the X-Wing is like stationary.
Right. So there's like a GoPro on the back of the X-Wing.
See, that doesn't, exactly. Yeah. That doesn't bother me, but I'm curious, why would that bother someone? Because if it's a good tech, it must be a good technique if it's... Right, if it's used.
I just mean in terms of it being like a video game, like
if you're
like behind the character,
right, that particular view.
Yes.
Yeah, then it's like,
but would it bother you to see that in a film?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay, okay.
No.
So you're not saying it looks like a video game. I wish they did something else.
No, I'm totally fine with it looking like a video game. But I know some people don't seem to. They're like, oh, I didn't like it. It was too much like a video game.
Yeah.
Especially
which I'm like, what's bad about that? What's so bad about that?
Exactly.
We have another mystery here, or sorry, opportunity here.
What was the first mystery?
We've had a lot of these with characters who show up and we don't know who they are or where they're from, what they're. And so here we have a pilot, a rebel pilot, who says, "Stay with me," and all we know about him is that he is Red 12. We have no idea what his name is or who the actor is.
So this is our chance to name the character.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like that, like...
Did he survive?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so we don't get it. Oh, no? Do we get a Red 12 later? Like in a future film?
I don't think we counted that high in Star Wars, right?
Okay.
It was a smaller space battle, so there wasn't
the notable ones like Red 10, right? Or who's the one that dies in that? Like, or never mind. We get Luke's call letters in this film.
Yeah, right, there is Red 5 pops up later.
But 12, we don't know.
No, I don't. I think I want to say this is testing me. I want to say Red 12 is like John D or something like that.
Oh gosh, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Sure.
Oh boy, I feel like I have to look it up, but. Talk for a second while I look up Red 12.
The music's doing that thing that I think I mentioned where it's like running in place, where it kind of does the same sequence over and over again. Actually, that's called a sequence, is when at the beginning you hear like a set of notes, and they do this with a few different sets of notes, and then you hear the same set of notes but like slightly higher. It's a half step, but it doesn't really matter. The point is that it's the intervals are preserved, but it's like the same thing, but higher, but then it goes down. It kind of goes back and forth between them. And it just repeats and repeats. And it's just like, it shows a lack of movement despite how much motion there is in this scene. Mm-hmm. It's like the futility of working on this thing, on this mission. So it goes, yeah,
it's not making any progress.
It's like the car is still starting up. It's like, oh, we're doing it. No, okay, just try again. And then it's like, try again.
Got it.
And
okay.
Then like even when they move on to different themes, in this just 1 minute, they do the same thing with the other ones. Like, like it's lots of repetitive, fast stuff, which is called ostinato. But
ostinato.
The main thing is just like so much repetition. It's like not new. Rhythmic material. It's repetition.
I had to look up Red 12. It wasn't that John D was Red 4. Red 12 was Pugnacio.
Pugnacio?
Pugnacio.
Puck. With a Q?
No.
With a K?
Like a hockey puck. Nacio? Naeso. Hey, wait. Naeco. Nico? Pugnacio. Sorry.
I like Pugnacio better.
I think it's Pugnacio.
He was the... He flew with Red Leader. He was one of Red Leader's guys. Puck became the first X-Wing destroyed by Darth Vader in the Death Star Trench. There you go. So that was Red 12. This Red 12. This Red 12... Different guy.
That's great when he gets to heaven and they're like, he's like, I'm the first person killed by Darth Vader.
Is that something that
not
they're
in general, just in that battle?
Yeah, but still, that's pretty significant.
Let's say, for some reason, I remember this has been disputed, but historically, it's always been Kenji Urada, I believe, was the first human ever killed by a robot. So.
Hmm.
He was a auto worker who they installed a robotic kind of installation thing, and he got caught in it. Mm.
He insulted the robot's wife, and then the robot killed him.
Yep.
Do you know who was the last person killed at the Battle of Yavin? Not aside from all the people on the Death Star, of course.
Yeah, that's true. I'm assuming it's going to be that the TIE fighter pilot. No, who is it?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
No, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, the way you're looking.
No, so I was just trying to see.
I totally thought you was going
to
be like a gotcha.
No.
Your face is very gotcha-y.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's got to be the TIE fighter pilot.
I would think that's
to Darth Vader's.
What about the rebel pilot? What was the last rebel to die? Like Biggs?
Yeah, Biggs. Got to be Biggs.
Okay.
It's got to be Biggs.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Red
12. Sorry for that diversion. I missed what sounded like a really interesting musical.
Repetitive motifs.
Okay.
Yes.
Indicating the futility of war.
Wow. Well done.
Oh,
wait,
attention.
Let me just also say, to me, that's what it indicates.
Yeah.
That's an interpretation. That's not a fact. If it means something else to someone else, something else to someone else, valid. But I'm just telling you what is happening. There is a repetition happening.
And as a professional musician, it represents the utility of war.
No. There's as someone who, without whatever my influences that I've had in the past, have somehow fused those two things in my mind. So now I just associate them. It's a correlation, not necessarily a causation.
Hmm. All right.
Yes.
Bistan.
Bistan, we see. Bistan is that monkey guy operating the gun. Do you remember? You know what I'm talking
about? I do remember.
Okay, yeah, there's Bistan. Yes.
I love.
Because to me, it looked like a Wookiee.
I can see that, like a balding Wookiee.
Yeah, or just like a differently styled Wookiee. He's got little.
Are you kidding me? That like comb over thing is very like Chewbacca.
Yeah, it does. He is very. I didn't realize how thinning his hair was on the top.
And I love his little monkey scream as he's shooting.
Yes.
Was that a Willem scream?
No.
Okay.
I think it's just a monkey.
I thought I heard. Okay. There was something in this minute that sounded really close. Halfway.
Did you hear that they're replacing the Wilhelm scream and a lot of things with the George Lucas scream? There's George Lucas. They had George Lucas from the filming of American Graffiti. They had... I don't know if it was for a specific thing, but they had George Lucas screaming on tape. And so they've been using that for a, like as an, it's the new, you know, as things get more and more, well known, you have to get more and more obscure with your, like, you know, used to be all about Greedo. Now I talk more about Boshek and, you know, Feltoperin and stuff like that. Same thing. Like Wilhelm scream. Everybody knows about it now. So they have to get a little more obscure and start using the George Lucas scream.
So by they, you mean like Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Oh,
and
okay.
That kind of sounds
designed for
eternity.
I thought you were like, this is the new industry standard. Is like
right, yes. Have you heard the rumor?
They're all doing.
The Wilhelm scream is obsolete.
Yeah. It's been replaced by the Academy.
Hey, is there something that you think is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you.
It's a way you can connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. You can get help on your own time, your own pace. You can schedule it on video or even on your phone, or you can chat or even text to the therapist.
Yeah, they've got licensed professional counselors who are specializing in depression, stress, anxiety, relationship issues, family conflicts, sleep problems, anger, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem problems, trauma, anything. And anything you share, of course, is confidential. But it's important to note that it's not a crisis line.
It's secure, it's convenient, professional, and it's affordable. There is financial aid available for those who qualify, and Star Wars Minute listeners get 10% off your first month if you use the discount code SWM. Star Wars Minute, SWM. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/SWM.
That's right. You just go fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and then get matched with a counselor that you'll love. It's betterhelp.com/SWM.
Bistan is 22 years old.
Oh.
He's only 22.
You think he gets carded a lot?
Probably.
Does anyone get carded at any of these cantinas?
No.
Do we know? Yeah, we don't know what the Empire's policy is on alcohol.
Do they card at Galaxy's Edge at Ogus? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Ogus?
Yeah,
I don't remember getting carded, did I?
They card.
I just look old.
They can't be carding. I surely would have been carded. They have to be carding at Disney.
Yes, they're so. Carding. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
No, they are.
Bistan, we discovered not too long ago, Bistan named after one of Chris Weitz's children.
That's right. Bistan and Pow.
Bistan
and Pow were both named after his kids.
What are his kids' names?
We didn't ask.
Bistan and Pow. No, okay. I don't know. Yeah, okay. We didn't ask.
No.
He didn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I felt like...
Because you heard about the Chewbacca actor naming his kid.
Did he name his kid Chewbacca?
No.
Bistan.
Baca.
Baca. That's the first name or middle name?
It's her first name.
That's okay.
But yeah, like Becca, Baca.
Right.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, this had to be changed this guy's entire life that he's Chewbacca now.
And it seems the timing, there was probably some concurrence happening.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, it's the right time of his life.
That's pretty hardcore. That's have any other Star Wars actors named their kid? That has to be one of the only ones who's named their kid a Star Wars-y term.
Hmm.
I know, but did the other Star Wars actors give birth or like have their kids so soon? after.
Right. Well, I think so. Nathan was born in between Star Wars and Empire. Mm-hmm. So right in the midst of Star Wars.
True, but Star Wars wasn't the iconic level that it is today. I mean, it was, but it was also still like, oh, and there's a new franchise. Right. Now it's
It wasn't even a franchise at that point. It was just like hit movie, you know? Yeah, exactly.
So now to be in a Star Wars is like different. You have decades of legacy. It's a bigger deal now.
Right.
And Anakin, of course, aside from your cat, people name their kids Anakin.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
There, in the future, there should be people like people named after Star Wars club.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, is it one of my patrons, Jay, I think, has a dog, I want to say, named Yoda. I don't know. There's like a lot of Star Wars animals.
Oh yeah, animals. I knew someone who had a dog named Obi-Wan.
Hmm. And there's a lot of Lukes, which, you know, can fly under the radar. But
my dog was Luke when I was growing up, named.
But like people after Luke are Skywalker. That's cool though. I like when dogs have like people names.
I don't like when pets have human names.
Oh, okay.
Seems like a wasted opportunity.
Hmm. Huh.
I specifically did not want to give my kids any Star Wars names because I felt like it was too on the nose.
Yeah.
I felt like I you know, obviously I love Star Wars, but I felt like it's too expected of me.
Were the things you considered?
Every once in a while something would come up and it would be like, well,
any examples?
No,
Chewbacca is his dog's name. That's what it is.
Right.
It makes so much more sense. I think, okay, I used to name my my violin and the bows. Mm. So I remember being at summer camp and having like a name for my violin and for every single bow, because like you usually carry a couple in your case in case one breaks. And my bows were always named Jason and Jaina, which rest in peace. Mm. You know, Jason, Jaina, and Anakin were my bows, the children of Han and Leia.
Mm-hmm.
But I could never think of a name. Like, I could never really settle on a name for the violin. It's so much pressure.
Mm.
But,
yeah. You want us to name it for you?
Actually, yes. Can you name my violin?
Mm. That's tough.
You can think about it, but...
Does it have to go with Jason?
No, not at all.
Or should it be its own?
Nope. Okay. In fact, those are retired names. Those are old bows. I have new ones now.
Okay. Mm. Do those have names?
They don't.
Mm. Opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jack D.
But there's one main bow. Yeah, so...
Would you play the Jason and Jaina?
Jaina. You know, the twins.
Yeah.
Not the Wonder
Twins. J-A-I-N-A, so I just said Jaina.
It's some name I've seen printed and I've never heard spoken.
Right.
Me too.
So
if I'm wrong, I just would never know.
Would you use those bows for all music or just when you were playing solo?
Oh my God.
Wow.
Couldn't get it out. Could barely get it out.
You did a great job of keeping a straight face for way longer than I thought you could have.
That went on for so long.
Well done.
Oh,
well
done.
Bistan.
Wow.
Bistan.
Bistan is from the planet Iakar.
Mm.
Iakar. And his species is Iakaru.
Hmm.
He loves fighting, and even if he wasn't in the rebellion, he says he would fight. He wants to ensure the freedom of his fellow Ikaru. The truth is that he'd fight no matter what. He relishes the thrill of action and is driven by adrenaline, feeling most alive when the repetitive recoil of his heavy iron ion rifle thumps his flank and his ears ring with the roar of combat as his opponents die bloody, violent deaths. Oh.
There's no way that's real.
Sheesh.
He's like one of those kind of
like...
Did
you make that up?
No, he's reading it from...
That is a really weird dating profile.
The part about the violent death I did make up.
It just keeps going... Oh, really?
But the...
Yeah.
But the,
okay, now I
totally should go back and put Spanish like, Flea behind that as
like, really,
it.
That character's thing is like, just really likes to fight. Just really likes
that
thrill
part is
of
true.
Violence.
Yeah, that part is true. He wants to ensure the freedom of his fellow Ikaru, but the truth is he'd fight no matter what.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But he's like one of those people that has no place in a civilian society that just, you know, they keep signing up for tours of duty or private security.
That's either genius or they were just like, I don't know how to justify this guy's cause. Let's just, I just like to fight.
Well, it must be hard as like, because I don't get the impression a lot of this is from like the script or anything. So Pablo Hidalgo must just like, okay, this guy likes to fight, you know. And
this would be one of my dream jobs.
is to write a visual dictionary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to come up with like the little side stories of the characters that no one knows about.
Well, that's to be Red able 12 to do, needs the side story.
That would be, well, see, that's why I was asking if we knew about it. So I just want to know if it's been claimed already.
No.
That would be a dream job. That and also writing Alexa content. Sorry, I don't want to like trigger everyone's like all the Star Wars Minute people's Alexas are going to go off at the same time.
She heard you this time.
Oh my God, I whispered so softly.
What does that mean, writing and, content for?
Oh my gosh, like the little, like Alexa, aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Well, aren't you a little tall for a Star Wars fan?
Whoa, that's crazy.
That's and like if you're just like, Alexa, sing me a song about technology.
That time she didn't hear you.
Alexa, sing me a song about technology.
Technology.
Could be a songwriter for her.
Technology. Where would I be without technology?
So, keeps going. Wow. I thought that was going to be the...
Okay, she has so many songs and jokes and stories. That would be such a funny job. And if you ever ask, like, hello, what's new? Like, she tells you what's new that day, like, on this day and whatever. And it's always so weird. And, like, and the way she delivers it is just, like, who writes this?
How did you discover, like, that the fact that, like, we're getting off the meeting?
I talk to her like she's my friend. Like, I take her to traveling sometimes.
Wow.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, I like that we triggered both the Amazon computer and people's ASMR reactions to that. We were trying to not.
Now everyone out there is listening to songs about technology in their homes right now. As they
not me, I changed mine to computer. So be more Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, I guess that'll wrap up minute 103.
Wait. Okay. Oh. That shot where when we just watched it, we were all like, that's such a cool shot. Okay. The music there is so cool. Uh-huh. It's another slidey thing. Like we had with the brass. Okay. Wait.
Okay. Your turn.
Okay.
All right. My turn.
Okay. So in that shot, we see the shot being finalized almost. It's like, I mean, I don't know if that's what's happening. That's probably not what's happening. But there's a sense of motion in that shot. You know, when we were looking up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like things are getting into focus, and it's sort of like you feel like you don't have stability for a while it's like panning, and the music does four in the strings. It does like four really intentional slides, sort of like I mentioned with the brass a couple episodes ago. Where it's not just like random sliding, because that's a thing to be like, that's a thing. No, but this one has distinct stopping points and it lines up exactly as that shot is going. It's like it starts when it starts panning up, and then it crystallizes once the shot crystallizes and it goes, let me see.
Ooh,
wow.
Specifically on those notes. And I don't really know why, but it's, but the point is it's sliding, and the satisfying part is when it crystallizes. It reminds me of like the THX logo. It's like the part where it comes together. Yeah. So totally. I love that. That shot is so delightful. And the music like really underscores that, I think.
Huh. Yeah.
It's timed at least, so it's probably intentional.
Right. Yeah. I really like that. It's a bunch of cool stuff that we haven't necessarily seen before. Let me back up for a second. I realize I have another note here. Speaking of stuff that we have seen before, but this isn't... when they're looking for once they're inside the silo there and they're looking for the plans, and they're talking to K2SO about where to find it, we do get a couple of screens of that kind of cool... displays that look like classic Star Wars stuff, but aren't necessarily 100% reused. But then they say something about the data tape, and they talk a lot about tape.
Mm-hmm.
Once we find the tape, and it's like, well, is it really tape? Like, are we in? Is that like, is it like magnetic like media here? I know we all say tape, and because it's a kind of a leftover, you know, it's an artifact from when everything was recorded on to tape. But it's weird that for them to say a data tape when they're really just talking about.
I would think that you would like.
Why is that weird? Why is that weird?
I don't think there's actually tape involved, right, on their end.
But why is it not weird when we say it?
Well, because in our universe, the word, I mean, I guess maybe they are. Maybe their stuff was recorded on, you know, physical magnetic media for them at some point, but now it's not. So it's just like a leftover thing. All I can think of is like people who were, like people who would call, people would call them Nintendo tapes because they didn't know, like the terminology was just like the cartridge.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It was like, oh, it's a tape for the thing. And like, so that data, like having that, I feel like maybe it would be a, this is way aside, way a tangent, but I was, I literally like a couple months ago put together finally, like why a record album is called an album.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, they used to just make records that were, before they had long playing records, they would just make the records, had one song per each side, but you could buy a photo album, essentially, but it had records in it. So it had, you know, if you had 10 songs, you had 5 different records in an album. And then once they got the long playing album technology, the long playing record technology,
they would just put to me, record means one song.
But an album. Right. So they
an
had
album is multiple songs.
Right. But you would have an album of these records. So before they had long playing record technology, they, you would, if you wanted an album, you would get like 10 songs by somebody.
Like a box set.
Yeah.
Well, it would be like, literally, it looks like a photo. I ended up inheriting a bunch of them, and I was like, oh, it's neat that they're all in these weird photo album things.
Yes, like I have a record right up there for one song. You can't see it. It says Halsey something, something. Okay. And that's just one song.
Right.
And so you would put those together. I see what you're saying. So you'd like flip your case and see.
Right.
But there would be one song and the next one would be another song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I got you.
So you would go to the store and you would just get, oh, the new album of songs by this artist would be, you know, five singles essentially in one thing.
Album. Although and conceptually, so that, I feel like that would still make sense because of the photo album. But
right. So, but then eventually we got, oh, well, we have the technology now just to put them all on one piece of vinyl.
Yeah.
So, but we're still calling it an album because it's,
it's, yeah,
legacy terminology.
Because now record is synonymous, at least in the music industry. And it's like, let's make a great record. Like,
right.
In the music industry, that still means one song. But right. Also, right. If you're like, I'm going to buy a record and it's going to be the Beatles album, I people do say that. But yeah. I think that's why people say vinyl now, too.
Yeah.
And I mean,
bothers me that calling an album a vinyl.
I got the new vinyl from Beck.
But
language evolves. And
that's true.
Regarding the tape thing here, is tape used in the new trilogy at all? Like, do they say that word? Because maybe they just kept it for consistency.
Because in the original trilogy, in Star Wars, they refer to them as data tapes.
Do they?
Yeah, because then that would be... Wait, do they do?
Once we locate the stolen data tapes, that's why I thought you would all like right. it that they say tapes because it's
he just
throwback to the original.
He just needed to hear it in the right accent.
Somehow I forgot that, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That makes sense.
I'll allow it now. Never mind.
Yeah.
Let's delete
you brought
my
up a great point, Pete. You brought up a great point.
Albums and tapes.
Yeah.
Which soundtracks versus scores, whole other conversation.
Right.
Well, that's what's kind of funny about the whole thing is that they're like, the file is so big, it would take so long to send it up, and then eventually winds up being so small that they can put it inside, like, R2-D2, like, a little slot. So, mm-hmm. so
it's a thumb drive.
Yeah, you know, like a super, yeah, you know, super.
Well, only because they have to transmit it. So the physical media, they have all kinds of, that isn't a problem, but transmitting data speeds are a problem.
Oh.
Right, okay. But then at one point they're carrying around
like a hard drive.
Yeah, like a big hard drive.
Right.
So
in Rogue One or in?
In Rogue One, yeah. Oh. Once they get the tapes, I guess.
Right. Although that was mainly in the trailer, I think. There's them running. Oh, no, they do have it.
Yeah.
Because they have to get it to another point. Anyway, we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Pops.
Wrong show. Is that everything for the,
103?
Yes. For 103.
Yeah. I'm good on this. Except we're starting to hear snares. Snares always mean there's battle.
Mm.
It's bad news when there's snares.
And I want to issue an apology to puppeteer Nick Kellington, who played Bistan. we did not really have much information about.
All right.
Bistan. I guess we talked about him.
Bistan.
Come over. I guess that'll wrap up minute 103. Chrysanthi, can we come back at least one more time?
You can. Okay. Yes. All right,
good. all right. So we're going to be coming back tomorrow. And in the meantime, you can go to your local telephone and give us a call. Call 8-DAY-GREEDO. Leave us a short little message or skit or spoof or impression.
Leave it on our answering machine.
But make it good.
Yeah. And yes, definitely make it good. Maybe we'll use it on the show if it's good enough. So there's your challenge.
We'll listen to the tape and figure out if it's
we'll figure out the tapes, and we'll be back tomorrow with another Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.